this is kind of cool because of the whole thing about the hand of the Lord. I'm really kind of studying on the hand of the Lord because that's like God's power on you. You know, being his hand, it's really something you really actually feel and experience when he gives you that kind of authority. It's very cool. Isaiah 58. Behold, the hand of Jehovah is not shortened from saving, nor is his ear heavy from hearing. In other words, God is able to save and deliver you completely. God is able to save your children. God is able to deliver them completely. It doesn't matter what the economy is doing. It doesn't matter what season we're in as far as the timetable of God. God is able to save completely. God is able to deliver completely. Isn't that good? Not partly. He's not asking you to do it. He just wants you to yield to it and agree with him. His ear is not heavy from hearing. God hears your prayers. Some of you think God's not hearing your prayers. Some of you, I pray and pray and pray. If it doesn't seem as if God is hearing your prayer, the problem is not with God. The problem is with you. You, for some reason, have bought a lie that makes it impossible to hear him. So you need to, Holy Spirit, clean the wax out of your ears and say, God, to hear God, you have to get rid of opinions. To hear God, you have to get rid of opinions. You will hear him when you get rid of opinions. I'm telling you. You get rid of opinions and let him get rid of the hurt places in you, and you will hear him so clear. The reason you can't hear God, and or maybe in certain areas, is because you have opinions there, or you have a hurt area there that's been damaged and wounded by something the enemy has done to stop you from hearing God, to keep you rebellious, to keep you against God. Behold, the hand of the Lord is not shortened from saving, nor is his ear heavy from hearing. Isaiah 59. But your iniquities are coming between you and your God. Wow, that's in here, isn't it? Old Testament and New Testament. If God doesn't seem to be delivering you, if God doesn't seem to be paying your bills, if God doesn't seem to be saving your family, if God doesn't seem to be healing you, if you think he doesn't hear your prayers, he gives you the reason. Your iniquities. Iniquities are the wrong attitudes that you pick up from your parents and what they teach you. From society, iniquity was in your forefathers. In other words, their wrong belief systems, their wrong things that they worshiped and idolized will come into your heart when you're conceived. That's why you're born in sin. You are born into a situation that your parents' idols are your idols when you're born. So if you have a controlling parent, if you have a parent who has to be in charge, you will see that in your personality possibly. If there's a sickness that's in your family line, you're going to be born with that inside of you waiting to happen. That's why Jesus was beaten for our iniquities. He's like, you know, he took our diseases. He was bruised for our iniquities. He's like, okay, I'm going to be bruised. Let them bruise me. Let them come in and damage me so that the wrong attitudes and thinking that will keep them in bondage will lose its authority and power. They don't have to be like their mother. They don't have to be like their father. They don't have to be like the grandparents. They don't have to have those diseases. They don't have to go through those issues. Because I'm going to be bruised for their iniquities. I'm not only going to pay for their sin. Sin comes when you buy into the iniquity and agree with it, and then you operate in an act of rebellion against God. Sin is rebellion against God. Do you get that? Sin is rebellion against God. Sin is not, there's blatant sin. You know, when somebody murders somebody, we know, oh, that's sin. But sin is when you come against God and his word and what he says about something. That's sin. When you act on that, it becomes sin. When it's just the attitude in your heart from your culture, from your family's belief system, that's iniquity. But that iniquity is Satan tempting you to act a certain way, think a certain way, have certain opinions, believe a certain way, and that iniquity opens the door for you to sin. It opens the door for you not to hear God. Some of you, you know, you think the Lord told you to do this, but then it falls apart. and then you're bitter about towards God. What happened? No, no, no. That iniquity had you hear what you thought was God, but it wasn't God. The Bible says in the last days, people will find preachers and teachers to teach what their itching ears want to hear. That's Bible. In other words, if you only, if you really, 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 really just want to be rich with a big house and a fancy car and have all the money coming to you possible, and that's your idol, you can find this Sunday morning in the American church somebody preaching to those itchy ears. Bible says it's going to happen, especially in the last days, so why be surprised? But God's word says, if things aren't happening, don't say I'm not delivering. Don't say I'm not healing. Don't say I'm not saving. Don't say I'm not working right. Don't say I'm not true to my promises. Don't act as if my hand isn't long enough to reach into your situation and heal you and deliver you. Don't say that. He said it's because of your iniquity, your wrong attitudes, your wrong thinking, your wrong belief. It's because of your stuff that God's word is not being fulfilled in your life. Your iniquities are coming between you and your God, and your sins. Now look at this. Your iniquities block this relationship between you and God. Your iniquities keep you thinking what you're doing is okay. It makes you justify things. It makes you think wrong. Okay, that's between you and God. But your sin, now sin is when it goes from iniquity to action. Okay, do you get that? Sin is action. Iniquity is thought. You always think it before you do it. You think about turning on the computer because maybe something might pop up. You think about it. Think turning on the computer is not my fault if something pops on the screen that's not supposed to be there. So you turn on the computer. Lo and behold, something pops up. And then you can hit that button. Now we're into temptation because we already had the iniquity that it's not really my fault. It can't really be that bad. Everybody does it. Haven't you seen the commercials? Haven't you seen the billboards? Do you see what I'm saying? And pretty soon, but then when you hit the button and you choose to look at perversion, okay? The word perversion means perverted from God's intention. Same thing about pornography, about everything, drinking, about everything. Satan just wants to get in there and go, what did God make good that we can pervert? What did God make good that we can mess everybody up with? That's what he does. People fall for it. I heard, I don't know how they prove any of this, but was on 700 Club, that 50% of Christian men, church-going Christian men, 50% are into pornography. I don't know if that's just in America, but that's sad. I don't know. Did it call everybody? I mean, who did you call to get that? But I could say 100% of America men in America are surrounded by it. And it's going to take a walk with God not to give in to it. It's going to take a walk with God. It's going to take not even opening that door. It's going to take hating it. It's going to take hating what God hates. The thought that that would be your daughter. The thought that your daughter might get into this and your son might get more addicted than you are and cross lines you never thought you could cross because you are opening the line of iniquity. A lot of us don't hate some of our sin until we start seeing our children go down that road. How much greater for those of you who don't have children yet to hate it now and avoid all that? Nothing makes you hate something as much as beginning to see it affect people that you love and realize what the enemy's trying to do. Satan always takes sin further than people think he'll take it. He's not going to take it to the point where you can control it. He's going to take it to the point where he controls you. He says, your iniquities are coming between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you from hearing. In other words, when you give it to sin, sin is when you put action to the wrong thoughts. Sin is when you start justifying and coming up with and can't figure it out. When that happens, God, according to this, doesn't hear your prayers. He knows everything, but he doesn't listen and have a conversation and move into the picture to help you. Let me tell you what, many of you have been rescued because you've had somebody else praying for you. Oh, God is listening to their prayers. I was thinking about this either yesterday or the day before. I can't remember. I think it was yesterday. Just walking down the hall, you know, in the morning. Sometimes I just love Holy Spirit random thoughts. And I thought, because I was just thinking about my kids, my sons, and, you know, just praying for them all the time. I thought, wow, my sons have had someone pray for them, more than likely more than one person, every day since I knew that they were coming. From the day I knew I was pregnant with both of my sons, I prayed for them every day of their lives. I have prayed for them every single day of their life. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool to think that there's a generation that we're bringing forth that has had prayer over their life every single day? I have prayed for my husband since when we first were married, because I really wasn't walking with God right then. But since I really turned my heart to God, which we were probably married about 6 years, I have prayed for him every single day. And I'm sure he's prayed a lot for us. Do we understand the power of prayer? Do we understand the power of this privilege of praying for God? And if we choose to let God deal with the iniquities, the wrong thinking, how do you know it's wrong thinking? Because it doesn't line up with the Bible. It's not that hard. There's a kingdom. Here's the book. There's a spirit to make this life and not bring you into bondage with it. That's how it works. It's so cool. There's a kingdom. There's the rules. But there's a spirit to make them not rules, but to make them life-giving revelation. That's how it works. It doesn't work without all three working together. It doesn't work with being in the kingdom by being born again by the Spirit of God. It doesn't work by just reading the rules. That actually brings death. It doesn't work by just hanging out with the Spirit. It works by being in the kingdom of God, getting the Holy Spirit, knowing the Holy Spirit, hearing the Holy Spirit, fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit as you read his word. And then nothing but life happens. I don't want to have sin, but I want you to see the consequence of sin. Your sins have hidden his face from you, him from hearing you. It's kind of afraid when you're out there on your own and God can't hear you, can't rescue you, can't change things because you've chosen to give into the iniquity and you're producing sin and you haven't repented from it. Now, let me tell you this for real. The minute you repent, it means I am not doing it again. I am not going back there. If I have to call 10 people to help me, if I have to go in front of the whole church and confess my sin so everybody knows that I'm dealing with this thing, if I have to have ears to hear, no matter what I have to do, I am not returning to that sin by the grace of God. When we have that kind of repentance, God will hear you again. For his hands, this is our hands, people's hands, they're not hearing God. They don't see a salvation anymore. They don't seem like he's listening. It says, for your hands are defiled by blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken falsehood, Your tongue murmurs perversion. No one calls for righteousness. No one pleads with truth. People trust in emptiness. They speak vanity. They conceive. Now, this is one we're going to talk about up to four on Tuesday, because we need to deal with all these things. They conceive mischief, and they give birth to iniquity. Mischief. One of the things that God hates. See, it's in Proverbs 6:16 or 16:6, one of the two. One of the things that God, if God says there's seven things he hates and he's God, don't you think we need to look over those seven things and make sure they're not in our heart? But one of those things is feet that run to mischief. Now we think mischief is cute. People laugh if their kid gets in trouble. We need not to encourage that. You got to get it. Feet that run to mischief is a spirit of the enemy that's inside of you that gets you at the wrong place at the exact wrong time. It's a spirit that makes sure that you are right where that car accident's going to be. I'm not saying that because of your thing. God protect you and take care of you. You were just going home from work. But other people know what I'm talking about. It's the enemy. It's like, gosh, I'm always getting stabbed. I'm always in trouble. I'm always being tempted. Well, you've got feet that you've given. See, God says his feet prepares us for peace. His feet wants us to be right where we need to be to bring peace into a situation. This is a counterfeit. This is the devil's kingdom saying, I'm going to have your feet right where they need to be to get you in trouble. And if he can do that really big, he will get you in major trouble. He will try to destroy you with it. So really, it's being led by a demon to be at the wrong place all the time. And then stuff happens. And like, how does this keep happening? So something we need to hate. It's a spirit. We need to hate it. We need to recognize it. We need to break its power. Because it will cause us to have a fear that we're never protected. It'll cause us to feel like we can't trust ourselves. It's like the feet that will get, if you're trying not to drink and you've given up drinking and you're trying to live for God and you mean it, it's the feet that will have you sitting in a bar when you never had intentions to ever go back in a bar again. It's a spirit whose job is to get you back in bondage or to keep you there, okay? Now, I don't know if y'all have learned it yet, but you can talk to, I can give you a few names of people here to help you out if you need to. This stuff is real. The reason the world is crazy and America's going crazy is because we are seeing demonic activity like we've never seen before. Africa's experienced this for years, okay? Other nations have experienced this kind of stuff for years. We haven't. We've been one nation under a true God, living by the standards of God's word, even in our business practices, up until the last about 20 or 30 years. And things are just decaying and corrupting very quickly as we approach the last days, okay? You personally can still live in the kingdom of God and in his will and be a light in this time and watch him take care of you and watch him work everything and even turn things that are meant for evil to good. But it's time to grow up and realize I cannot play with these iniquities. I cannot give in to sin. I cannot hang on to these things and think it's okay, because there really is a God who has my best intention and the power to deliver me, but there really is an enemy who's all around me, who's trying to set me up. This is just really true. Satan wants you to go to hell. Do you get that? I mean, he's serious about it. He really wants you to go to hell. He really doesn't want you to go to heaven that he got thrown out from. He hates you because, for one thing, you take the place that he used to have. And he really wants you there. If he can't get you there, then he wants to make sure that your life is so messed up that he at least gets your children to go there. Or your witness is so lousy that nobody's going to want to know or serve your God. And I know this all sounds so heavy, but it's time to get real. All God says to do, it's easy. He says, look, all you have to do is make me Lord. After you make me Savior, just make me Lord. Put me in charge. Enter into my kingdom. Turn from your wicked ways. Run to me. And I'm just going to say this. I am over thinking for one second that the devil is bigger in anybody's life, in anybody's past, in anybody's situation than God is. One drop of Holy Spirit in me and me living for God, wanting to be in right standing, one drop can make every demon flee. Because it's not based on me, it's based on him. Do y'all know how big God is? Come on. Satan is defeated. Oh, yawn, yawn in heaven the day he rebelled. Oh, he fell.